Hello and welcome everybody to this episode of the Voices of Courage podcast show. This show is going to be a show, I believe, that'll actually change the way you think and possibly change your life from here on out. I'm calling the show The Courage to Unlock Infinite Abundance. Listen, abundance is all around us. It's everywhere. But why is it some people, even myself, get so focused on the little things in life, the things that are unimportant instead of the things that are important? Well, I can assure you that when you do that consistently, you miss the abundance of this world. Listen, I'm in a place in my world, in my life, where I've practiced these principles for over 30 years. I want to tell you something. These principles work. When you understand the principles of generating wealth, generating abundance in your life, all of a sudden what happens is, well, not only do you have more money, that's kind of cool, but your relationships improve, your health improves, your relationship with your inner self, your spirit, your soul, that improves. And life gets more harmonious. You start to walk your talk every day and it feels so good because you're living the principles of abundance. Why am I telling you this? Well, listen, I have an amazing man on my show today. I'm going to introduce him right now. His name is Brandon Beacham, and he is a podcaster, entrepreneur. He's an author. He's a philosopher. And most importantly, he's a truth seeker. And since 2015, he has been in the podcast business, just like me. He has a show called The Positive Head Podcast, and that show has now had over 15 million downloads. Why? Because truth matters, words matter, and when you are putting it out in the world, people want to listen to it. Brandon, I'm so glad you're here with me today, man. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. Thank you for showing up today.
Thank you so much for having me and the epic introduction. There's a few other things that I've been called in there that some ex-girlfriends might have for you, but we'll keep those out.
I'm sure there might be a few in there. I get it. Well, listen, man, you've been rocking it on this podcast, and you know, a lot of what you do is to teach people about not only abundance. I think before we get to abundance, you have to understand the ultimate nature of reality. What is that for you?
Great question. And, you know, I would like to add, you know, you started off talking about abundance and what it is. And I love the Sufi saying that abundance can be had simply by consciously receiving what has already been given. And it's, you know, that gratitude for what already is. And, you know, when you ask what is the ultimate nature of reality, what is it that is already happening, right? What is it that you've already been given? And what I believe that we've all already been given is a divine spark. I believe we are one with the source consciousness that creates and animates all things, a chip off the block, if you will. Rumi said, we aren't, you know, the drop separate from the ocean. The ocean is in the drop. So once you start playing with the idea and living your life from the perspective of, okay, everywhere I go, I'm there waiting for myself. I'm one with all of the abundance in the known universe and beyond. And of course, you know, there's people out there, I'm sure, at different levels of their, you know, relatability to this concept that are listening. And I say, look, don't take my word for this concept. Apply, play with it and see for yourself. And what happens is profound. Once you start playing with the idea that, you know, you're one with it all and it's feedbacking you to you all the time, you start to understand it's happening for me, not to me. And you know, it's really put you on the path.
You know, I really love that. I love that concept. So let me ask you this then, you know, being, let's say, as one and already having the divine spark in us, there's really probably nothing to discover except to discover that brilliance, that power, that genius that's within us. And yet so many people are doing a lot of self-development work. They're trying to improve themselves as opposed to maybe discover themselves. What's your thought of that?
I think that's a really great point. I think getting back to our true nature is really about more about taking things away than adding new things. you know, removing all of the layers. You know, if you have something, you know, a piece of gold, and then I paint it with, you know, all these different layers of paint on top of it, to get to the gold, it's really about removing the layers that are built up on top of it. And I think our life, our adventure into physicality, 3D, we come here pure from spirit, and they start stacking things on us. Here's how it is. Here's what you are. Here's the way the world works. And we're such powerful creator beings, being one with the creator, right? The creator and created rolled into one, in a sense. So once we're getting taught and told this is how things are, and this is, get, you know, straighten up your avatar. Let me make sure your suit is on straight, and the role that you're playing. And we start taking these things on, and as we believe them, you know, abracadabra actually translates to I create as I speak. We're spelling. We're casting a spell. Our words are our wand. So we are, as we tell these stories about who we are and what we are, and creating separation from us and everything around us, abracadabra, I create as I speak. And so that's a lot of what's going on. And now we're at the point of sort of remembering, coming back together and stripping away a lot of those, you know, false ideas about ourselves.
Well, listen, once we remember who we are, I want to know what's possible. And I want to know your journey. I want to know the hero's journey, the tale that you tell that awakened yourself, your soul, your spirit, so that now you become this wealth master. But before I do, I got to take a quick break. Quick break.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Well, I hope you're enjoying our interview today, and I want to let you know I have a new sponsor on the program, so I wanted to give you a personal note around this. You know, now more than ever, it's really important to have a strong immune system and a circulatory system to really have that vital health, that power, that energy that you really want. And I've come across an expert in this field. His name is Dr. John Chubeck. He owns a company called Vitus Support MD. They've created a line of world-class products specifically formulated to boost your immune system to fight off ailments and chronic venous diseases. So I hope you'll check them out. You know, there's nothing worse than having low energy. I can't imagine it. So when you have the right plan and you have the right supplements, your energy can increase. And I know that you will want to check out Vita Support MD. That's Vita Support MD. All right. Well, my guest today is Brandon Beecham, and we're talking about a whole bunch of things, but most importantly, we're talking about how to generate abundance in your life and how to let go of some of the misbeliefs, the ways that you maybe have been showing up. Brandon is an expert in this. He's got a podcast out there that has over 15 million downloads in the last 5-6 years. So Brandon, let's take a deeper dive into this. So your journey, your tale, what happened with you and how does that relate to teaching others about these principles?
Great question. And you asked earlier about how to tap into, our potential. And it's really, about, we talked about removing things that are sort of covering up our potential. And it's also about creating the right conditions for our potential to blossom, if you will. If you take an acorn and you put it on the little kid shelf in his room, it's probably not going to become the oak tree that way. But you create the right conditions, the right sunlight, the right soil, the right, water, the right amount of water, all of those things, it's going to blossom into this incredible oak tree that, was always within the acorn and potential if the right conditions are created. And so that's really been my own journey of how do I unlock the abundance that is my birthright? And, it's been quite the journey. It's a long one, going back about 25 years on my own path of self-discovery and awakening. And, it's one thing to learn a lot of the concepts that I cover, for example, on the Positive Head podcast or in my new book, The Golden Key. And it's one thing to understand them theoretically, and it's another to apply them to your life, right? And Mike Tyson said it well, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face. And so you have these ideas and, you've got your Zen Buddhist attire on, and next thing you know, you get hit with a rogue wave and you're flailing and screaming or whatever. And so there's been a lot of that slow journey to really, tuning in and finding that calm and learning to, that everything that challenges me is actually my triggers or my treasures. Right. Yeah. And so that's, and I could go into as much of how that unfolded as you'd like.
Well, you know what? I'd like to shift gears just a little bit because I do want to talk about your book. You got a new book out. It's called The Golden Key. And tell me a little bit about why you wrote this book and what the audience can learn from it.
Great, great question. Yeah, so, on that journey, part of it is, me understanding and tapping into the power of, I'm one with the source consciousness that creates and animates all things. Like, I helped build this place. I have amnesia to the fact of who I was before I came into physicality, but I'm starting to remember again. And therefore, I want more health. Okay, I'm going to start telling the story. I don't believe in getting sick. Now, I can't say I've never been sick, but very, very little can compared to the average person. And 46 years old, never been in a hospital, never had a broken bone, never, thrown up a handful of times. So I just told that story. And that's the ultimate abundance, right? Time, I would say, is probably the most precious form of abundance. Then you get into health. Then, okay, wealth. We live in a monetary-based economy at this time. Monergy is just that. It's energy. Like, how do I call in more of that? I went from my friend's couch to, by all, I guess, judgments, societal standards, you would say at 30 something on my friend's couch, not a raging success. But I was telling a different story about who and what I was and am and my potential. And abracadabra, I manifested an Inc., fastest growing private company and, doing 10 million a year in revenue within a few years. And so it's, as I played with the ideas, I always say, results speak loudest. And I could see, wow, look at my health. Wow, look at the relationships the abundance I'm tapping into there. Look at the fun that I'm having. Look at the monetary energy that's I'm calling in. And then you have those moments of slipping off. I say smooth seas never made for a skilled sailor. And we all came to be skilled sailors and had moments where I, slipped into maybe fear of losing the company and things like that, which then I manifested in a very dramatic way that, I had to walk away. Ultimately, we got offered to be bought out for $30 million. And within 12 hours, we lost 90% of our revenue, which blew the deal up. And then, my business partner betrayed me. I ended up walking away. And years later, the day I hit print on my new book, just a few months ago, that business partner called me and said, I feel like we're supposed to write a book together. And I know you don't want to talk to me, but I've been on my own spiritual journey in these 6 years since we spoke. And, I said, well, you just appeared as the villain in my hero's journey tale in my book. So we did just write a book. And and now we're, we've rekindled. He's a whole different person in the best kind of way and a support system and wants to help support this kind of work. And it's a beautiful tale of redemption.
Well, you know what? I like what you just did. You know, you're real, you're vulnerable. You know, life happens to a lot of us, but it's not about what happens. It's what you do with it. And it's how you transform, what you learn from it, and how you evolve your own self. And you just gave us a great example of that. You know, in the new book, that's cool. What do you think are some of the key principles that people can walk away with?
Well, you know, I landed on the idea of the book was it came to me in a dream, the concept, and a lot of synchronicity around that. And then even the cover art, my friend dreamed about it months before I asked him to do it. So he had already started creating the art before I asked because of a dream that he had where he was hunting for the key to everything at the property that I manage. And he was so inspired, he started the art. And so, you know, it's really fascinating when you start aligning in this way, a lot of the magic that will unfold. And, you know, I went and said, okay, how can I take 25 years of deep exploration of this topic, these ideas, and distill them into 3 hours, you know, ended up being about 3 hours to listen to or 100 pages to read. I wanted to be concise because I tend to be very verbose. And so I landed on 8 keys, which synchronistically happens to be the number, the symbol for abundance in Chinese, modern and traditional and modern Chinese culture. I found out later. But the first key, I'll just rattle them off. How about that?
Well, I think it might be a bit much to rattle all of them off. But first of all, I got to take a quick break. But when we come back, what I'd like to hear is, and maybe you can't do this with the 8 keys, but maybe give us the first key and the importance of that, and let's hone it down into that.
Sure.
That would be amazing for my audience. Okay.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Today I'm interviewing Brandon Beacham, and Brandon is an entrepreneur. He's an author, he's a philosopher, and most importantly, he's a truth seeker. We're talking about his new book, and some of the principles. That, you know, the book is called The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. And we're talking about some of the principles there that will shift your life so that you can actually have more joy, more abundance in your life. Brandon, let's just talk about one or two of the principles in the book, the keys. What would you say they are?
Well, the first key, we've talked about a fair amount, see the oneness. And so what I encourage everyone to do when you're exploring this idea, and in the book, I share a bit of the scientific perspectives that help to anchor this stuff in. You know, we've all heard the ideas as above, so below. And when you look at, you know, the physical universe, for example, you know, the atoms that make me up are actually were created in the beginning of the universe and have lived out a whole nother physical life as a star that was had its childhood, its young adulthood, its middle age, old age, a death. Its guts were strewn across the galaxy, you know, and then reformed into me. So we can see physically it's one. We can start looking at some of the experiments and things that have done that shown how our consciousness is connected. And there's a field. And so once you start playing with these ideas that everywhere you go, you're there waiting for yourself. That's what I encourage people to do. Just start experimenting with the idea that it's all an extension of you. The consciousness that animates my form is the consciousness that animates your form. The separation between us is actually an elaborate illusion, which there's a lot of evidence to show that as well, that we are in a simulation. And it's why you have people like Elon Musk saying, yeah, one in a billion chance, this is not a simulation, and that it's a base level reality. So there's a lot of evidence that you are in a light. It's a light show. It's holographic in nature. And so everything is an extension of you. And when you play with that idea, you start to see supporting evidence. So that's what I, you know, encourage people to do.
You know what I love about that? I love about that, Brandon, is that you're an extension of me and I'm an extension of you, and we are one together. And, you know, we have this inside of me, and I'm sure it's inside of you, this altruistic piece that wants to really help others to raise up and be able to see this consciousness. For when you become that consciousness, when you're in it, there's so much peace. There's so much joy. There's synchronicities. There's magic. There's miracles. Everything shows up in this space when you can step into that. Absolutely. So, you know, I just think that there's a place that if people right now, if you're thinking about buying Brandon's book, I really want to encourage you, go get it, because it's going to shift your consciousness. It's going to shift who you are. Brandon, those principles, do they stick with people once they get it?
Great question. And that is the thing that, like I said, results speak the loudest. So make it a game. Start, you know, playing with the idea that everything that comes into your field, into your awareness, is an extension of you that has, it's such a close vibrational match. Everything is vibrational in nature. The particles that make me up are not solid at all. They appear solid, but they're vibrational, and they're vibrations of energy popping in and out of existence, for that matter. We don't know where they come from or where they go to. They're intelligent when they show up here. And so it's all vibration. And so if you have attracted something vibrationally into your field, that's because it's such a close vibrational match. It's showing up, and therefore there's something there for you. Sometimes when it feels good and great and it's wonderful, that's easy to love and appreciate it. Where it can get more challenging is when it's challenging, right? And so seeing something that comes into your field that I always ask the question, why is this happening for me? What is the gift here? You know, the lump of coal is always transmuted into a diamond at some point, I believe. So I know from the highest vantage point, it's all happening for me, not to me. And so as I navigate and experience in that way, I can't stay. I always come back to self pretty quickly. Why am I attracting this? What is this telling me about myself? And in that way, everyone becomes the master and you the student. The guy flicking you off on the road doesn't know he's helping you to work on your own agitation or reactivity and reflecting you being mad earlier because someone ate the last Eggo or whatever. But that's what's happening. That's how the universe is working. And so it becomes a very interesting experiment, thought experiment. And when you start living your life in this way.
Well, you know, once you start becoming aware and conscious of life in the way that you're suggesting, and you take 100% responsibility for everything that's showing up in your life, then you can actually go to a place of choice, and you can actually make make changes if you don't necessarily like what is showing up in your life. So I think sometimes people get caught up in the illusion that everything is happening to them, not for them. Yep. And I think that your book is a book that can help break that paradigm. What would you say the ultimate outcome for a person reading that book would be?
Peace. Peace with what is, knowing that you can't get it wrong. You're literally an eternal being floating in eternity. You've always been and always will be. Change is guaranteed. You already are it. You can't not be it. You can pretend not to be it. You can pretend to experience a lack of abundance and struggle and strife. And hey, those things are necessary for source, you know, source, God, higher self, the universe, whatever you want to call it. It is all one at the end of the day when all the puzzle pieces go back in the box. And it is happening for love. Love is what its core, what it is, right? But without contrast, you can't fully appreciate that, right? And so that's what source is doing. You've never seen a great work of art without shadow in it. It needs to, can't know up without down. You can't know the love that you are without the hardship. And so once you understand all that's actually happening for love too, now you can relax about the challenges and know that, you know, if you don't like it, don't worry, it will change. All that matters is how graceful.
Well, listen, I've got one final question for you. You only got about a minute to answer it, so do your best.
Okay.
What's your secret to achieve a level of success that only one in a 10,000 entrepreneurs succeed?
And you know, it is, I'm really good at telling stories about myself. I mean, that's the only, I say it often. The only thing I'm really good at is telling good stories about myself and the situations in which I find myself. And because I am a creator being, it, you know, that makes it so. Abracadabra, you know, or you want to bring it down to earth a little bit. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. I believe there's only one truth, your truth. You are so creative and so powerful that you are casting spells with your words and your beliefs. And we can see this happening scientifically as well. Placebo, 30% of all healing is placebo, including surgery. This is who and what you are. Get with the program and start playing the game in a way that serves you. Everything you admire is a reflection of you too. Don't create separation. I could never do that, you know, any of that stuff. No, you're calling it in. You're such a close vibrational match.
Man, I love that message. Thank you so much, Brandon, for being part of this. That was really powerful. By the way, they've shown placebo to be up 60, 70, 80% when they do these double blind studies in a certain way. So it's amazing the power of the mind. The mind is the cause of our bondage, and the mind is the cause of our liberation. I say that on my show a lot, and you've just made that point. Man, thank you so much. All right. To get Brandon's book, the Golden Key, where's that available, Brandon? Let's tell him again.
GoldenKey.gift, GIFT. And you can get the audio and or ebook as a gift. Thanks to Ken, he has created a code that I don't know what the code is, Ken. Maybe you can shout it out and you can get both.
It's such a long code. I'll stick it here in the show here, but I think that have to just look at that and freeze your frame and then go back and get it if you want to connect with me. Otherwise, just go over there and connect with Brandon and get that book. I think this will really help my audience. So thank you so much, Brandon, for being part of this. I really appreciate you. I thank you for all you're doing in the world. And all of you, I want to say that the next level of your evolution is already here. It's time for you to take your life to the next level, right? So I hope you'll tell your family, your friends, and everybody about this show. That's how we grow this show. And until next week, I appreciate all you writing in and letting me know how amazing you've been and how this show has impacted your life. Thank you so much. Till next week, continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Well, hello and welcome, everybody. Oh my gosh, do I have a show for you today? We're going to call it The Courage to Be Kind and Powerful. Kindness. Kindness is a quality that I think in this world could be expressed by a lot more people, because I think it's a lot of times people are, they're abrupt, they're quick to anger, they're quick to get into their emotions, and yet, you know, a lot of times I think when we do those things, you know, kindness goes out the window. And so I brought an expert on my show today. We're going to be talking about how you can really shift into kindness on a continuous basis, and how by staying in that energy, in that field of kindness, that your life can actually get better. And you, by the way, if you do stay in that energy of kindness, I know from my own experience in my own life, you become more powerful. You have more energy, you have more creativity. You see things a lot clearer because you're in a state of kindness. Well, listen, I've got to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'm going to introduce the kindness expert on the planet, Dr. David Freiberg. We'll be right back.
I've written a new book. It's called The Courage to Change Everything: Daily Strategies and Wisdom to Unlock Your Genius, Your Soul, and to Transform Your Life. So it's daily strategies. I wrote this specifically because over the years I've noticed in my own life and in the lives of my clients that, listen, a little inspiration doesn't get it. A little wisdom doesn't get it. A little action doesn't get it. It's daily, dripping on the mind, dripping on those actions, taking specific focused actions towards your dreams and setting specific goals, right? Goals help us to transform the little self into the possibilities that we have in each of us. All of us are given dreams, and if you're sitting there and you're not manifesting that dream, it's just a little bit of you is chipping away every day that's not happening, until you finally wake up and say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to connect with something greater than myself, my force, my God, my life, my universe, whatever. I don't care what you call it. You tune into that force, and that's what's going to get you to the next level.
Well, hello and welcome back, everybody. I'd like to introduce you to my first guest and only guest on this show. His name is Dr. David Freiberg. He's a physician, he's a scientist, and he's the author of the Psychology Today blog series, The Science of Kindness. He's the co-founder and president of Envision Kindness, a nonprofit which creates studies and distributes kindness media to promoting caring, connection, and happiness. Dr. Freiberg, welcome to the show. It's really a pleasure to have you.
Thanks, Ken. I really appreciate being here, and please call me David.
Okay, I sure will. You know, you're a physician and scientist who runs a nonprofit to promote kindness throughout the media. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started in this?
Sure. I've sort of done a lot of academic and research related work. And while I was working as a consultant, I was watching the news a lot more. This is about 10 years ago. And in that time, I realized that I was getting more stressed, more fearful, more depressed with how much I was reading the news. The more I did it, the worse it got. I went, as good nerd that I am, I went back to the scientific literature to try to understand this. And there it was in the psychology literature that when people read the news or watch the news on television, within minutes, they have these negative emotions rise. But even listening to a story on a war in Syria, which wouldn't personally affect a lot of people, it would make them worry more about their own lives. And I thought that that was wrong. It was depriving people of a quality of life. While the news is important, and I'm not saying that we should avoid it, but the news is important, we have to have balance. We have to have the things that help us reconnect to our humanity. So because images are so powerful, and more I can tell about how positive or kindness media affects people, we created with my eldest son, created a nonprofit to share images of kindness and help them rebalance their what I came to call the visual diet.
Well, I personally have experienced that worry, that concern. I know my wife and I, you know, when the pandemic first started, we were watching the news constantly. And the next thing we realized is we were waking up edgy. We were waking up kind of upset with each other. And we were like, what's going on? What changed? And what changed is exactly what you're talking about. So, and I like what you said, we're not to avoid the news. Well, how do you watch the news if you're having all these, you know, chemicals released in my brain that's creating stress possibly or something worse in my body?
So if you're asking how do you watch the news and moderate
I'm asking that. How do we watch the news maybe dispassionately?
Well, so it's hard because a lot of these effects are not just conscious, they're subconscious. Media does that. So the first strategy, of course, and many that not only just myself, but friends of mine who are very civically minded people, when I started asking, they would just either stop completely or diminish or decrease it. So that was the first order strategy. The way we approach it, because the news is important, then it's really not possible, to just totally shut off from it, because then we'd be missing things that we need to know about, is to balance it, to be able to see the good in the world, because there's actually so much more good than there is that's not, that's bad, that's destruction or greed or unethical behavior or things that induce fear or anxiety or, you know, a negative emotion, disgust. So to me, balance is the key. And that's why we set up and envision.
Well, you know, and I like what you're saying around balance. It's like, you know, go ahead and have a really healthy dinner. And then if you want to have a little dessert afterwards, that's okay. So it's a little balance. I hear what you're saying. Kindness is sorely needed in this world. And, you know, many people believe that people are just fundamentally selfish or all about me.com. First of all, you think that's true, or do you think we can really make strides in bringing more kindness in the world?
So before I started Envision, my view was, you know, the classic view that we're taught, that people are at base, that there are a lot of motivations are self-driven, they're selfish in that way, And that that's particularly heightened as we live in a individualistic, very competitive, and unfortunately increasingly narcissistic world. But the truth really is that's not the way nature made us. We are innately kind. People are born kind, and there are lots of examples about this. And even as Darwin, for example, might have been cited because in his first book, The Origin of the Species, he wrote about what is natural selection. In other words, the promotion and self-preservation of the individual. In his second book, The Descent of Man, he really took on this notion that people will sacrifice. Nature has provided the mechanisms to sacrifice for others in order to promote survival of the group, not just survival of the person. So a better way to look at it is that we have both instincts. We have an instinct for self-preservation, and we have an instinct for the preservation of others. And these are constantly in balance, and they vary from day to day, and they're changed by our emotions and our state of being at, you know, in that time. So kindness actually is something that nature wants us to do, and you can actually also see examples of it in ants and bats and rats and prairie voles and dolphins and elephants and non-human primates as well as humans.
That's interesting. Well, you know, I want to ask you, does it take courage to be kind? And now I think you almost answered that, because, you know, that you see kindness in all kinds of other species. I think courage is a high it's a high frequency, high energetic experience within our own soul. I don't want to get off on that, but listen, does it take courage to be kind?
It does, in the sense of the willingness to let go of one's ego. So if we change the story, and it's just not about me, for example, and we make it about us, and we let go of what does this story mean, you know, what are these, the implications for what's going on, then that takes courage. That's the willingness to understand that we are connected to each other. And like in your in the small promotion of the book, and you talk about self-transcendence. This state is a self-transcendent state, to know that we're connected to the larger S or self. That takes courage at first.
Makes
but once
sense.
You have it, it becomes much easier to practice.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the studies on kindness and stress reduction. So we'll be right back.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Listen, before I get back to the interview, I want to give a shout out to a new sponsor. And I work long and hard to find amazing sponsors that will really help you to take your life to the next level. The sponsor that I found is just one of those sponsors. It's called Vita Support MD. It was developed by a medical doctor. His name is Dr. John Chuback. And Dr. Chuback wanted to create a line of world-class products specifically formulated to bolster your immune system in a fight off ailments and chronic venous disease. And he's done just that. He has supplements that will actually help you to become, in my opinion, much more vital, much more healthy, and get that old you back. So that's my opinion. I don't know if we can really say that on air, but I'm going to say it because it's an amazing product. So you want to check it out at vitasupportmd.com, vitasupportmd.com. I hope you'll check them out. All righty. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm interviewing Dr. David Freiberg. He's an MD, a physician, and a scientist, and he has studied kindness. And we're talking about how kindness can impact you and in your life and possibly even reduce your stress. Let's talk about that stress piece, David. What have we found out about stress and kindness?
So everything goes through this idea of positive interpersonal connection. And if your listeners, you know, think about it, this is, if we create positive connections, we have support, right? That support then brings or buffers stressors. So a stressor may be an event, something happens, somebody says something negative, you know, there's a car accident, there's an extra bill, there's an illness, there are differing levels, and those are all called stressors. The way that our body responds is that there's a common pathway that we experience and commonly call stress. That stress reaction or response is buffered, is diminished by feeling connected to others. So that in most cases or many cases is a significant partner, right? A life partner or, you know, a best friend, et cetera. For example, in workplaces, in the Gallup poll, one of the things that talk about, you know, how people are happy at work, how engaged they are is, do they have a best friend at work? It's relationships that matter. So kindness itself promotes relationships, right? So we remember, you know, everybody's now an evolutionary psychologist who's now on the call, and you're thinking, why would nature want us to be kind? And the interest is in helping each other. And so connection becomes a primary need. When we're connected, we don't react as much. Things don't bother us as much. It's just been shown many times by psychologists.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, let me share one other thought I had, and that is, you know, when we're kind to ourselves, you know, we reduce our own stress. I mean, it's like we nurture ourselves and we're really kind, and that has to do with how we speak to ourselves. Any tips on that?
Sure. I label that with forgiveness. So, and if you think about the word forgiveness, right, it's the notion of accepting imperfection. So something that I've called perfectly imperfect. We all make mistakes. And so being kind to ourselves and being kind to others is really an acknowledgement that everyone makes mistakes, whether that's on purpose or not. And it allows for the ego story, as we were talking about, to subside. And when that happens, our view of how do we fit into the world, do we matter, changes. And I could dive more into that, but that goes into a psychology of meaning and purpose. From, you know, is Viktor Frankl, Abraham Maslow, and others. But to if I can, sorry, if I'm going back to the piece on kindness itself, people, as you're listening to this, will know that when you see or participate in an act of kindness, you feel good. There are mechanisms in our brain that cause the reward centers to light up, and things that we know about of endorphins that are, you know, these endogenous opioid-like molecules, they are secreted. There are hormones that change that make us feel good when we're seeing or performing an act of kindness. Remember, the giver, the old aphorism, the giver benefits more than the receiver. And beyond being, you know, for some might interpret just, you know, as a karmic kind of thing, in this case, it's really you're benefiting because you're fulfilling what nature wants you to fulfill. And so it's giving reward mechanisms to do that. So being kind to yourself.
I'd like to challenge my audience as you're listening to this this week. I'd like you to practice kindness and take it to a new level. I think that if you do that, you become conscious and aware of times that maybe you're not kind, that you immediately, I think, like you said, David, is you invoke forgiveness if if you're imperfect. We're all imperfect beings. But you do that quickly and get back to kindness. I think if we challenge you, my audience today, I think it'll help you. David, how are you using kindness media to help people be kinder?
So seeing it evokes this. People have known this for quite a while. Media psychologists have studied it. And just like I started talking about the news, the same thing is true with kindness media, or what psychologists call pro-social media. So we're using it and adapting it to stream it into spaces that are more stressed. Healthcare, workplaces, we want to start in schools, because it works very quickly. And because these emotions, like negative emotions, are contagious, that we will spread our emotions to others and they will spread them to us, we can affect change without criticizing anyone, but just encouraging them to what nature really wanted us to be, to our true humanity. So
you just said something that I think I want to talk to you about. I've learned that who's ever more committed to their state of being is the one that usually influences a person. So if I'm really angry and I'm going to stay there, I might influence or put that negativity in an environment and bring somebody over towards that. What I'm hearing you say is the same thing can happen with kindness. We're really committed to our kindness. We will impact and influence other people to move into that space. Is that accurate or not?
Absolutely. And because negative emotions, though, are stronger or more retained than positive emotions, we remember the negative and react to them more. That's been also well established. But it's possible to rebalance that. So even if, you know, for practical things like to help your listeners, holding the door for somebody, smiling, saying hello, not even across, you know, thinking about just not saying something critical for the moment and holding it until you can digest it more fully. Those are all comparatively small, but these things add up because they spread. And so,
is there proof that this works?
Is there proof that it works? That the media works? Or
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, in multiple academic studies, this has been shown where people, they also survey that people feel more connected to others. It also had several studies looked at race-related issues. So as you were talking about before, this what's the self-other gap, which is can grow wider and has grown, you know, in part because of media exposure. You can decrease that, and you can decrease dehumanization of others. We've shown it with our media streamed into, in a field study, into a healthcare setting. It works really just the same way. So people are happier, they're calmer, they're more grateful, and they're also more generous, matching a behavior in making a donation to a needy family than people who watched what was children's television as a comparator. I hope that makes sense.
That is just, I just really love that. And you know, and then of course I think about, you know, Hollywood and some of the stuff they're coming out with in media and have been coming out with for many years. And maybe it's time for us to maybe tune off some of that, tune it out and tune into what you're talking about, you know, in media that streams or puts out kindness, compassion, love, you know, courage, wisdom. It just makes sense for me because there's so much research around this now. What say you?
Absolutely. I actually just start with the news. I've written an editorial that's under review now that goes directly to this point. But it's about not just having the person tune out, but it's since so many people are going to these sources, to provide them in balance so that they could see them also. And the balance, if you think about it on millions of people seeing something, imagine shifting that even, I don't know, 5%, 10% of what they might do, one more kind act a day. What could that do? I think on a large scale, it could be quite impactful.
Boy, I do too. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break and then we'll come back to wrap up.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Well, David, this has been fascinating. I definitely want to have you back on the show to explore this topic in a much greater way. This is just phenomenal. I really enjoyed this. Any final thoughts for the audience from your point of view?
Sure. We welcome feedback. We're in a new terrain where the systematization of this is new. So if there are audiences in different workplaces or schools and they're interested in helping us study and learn about this, I welcome the interaction and I welcome the suggestions because this is something that we all can do together.
Well, it's something we all need to do together. And again, thank you so much for being here, being part of this. I really love this discussion. So
thanks, Ken. I did too.
Be kind to yourself, people. I love it, David. All right, Dave. And by the way, if you'd like to stay on till after the show, I'll talk with you a little bit. That'd be great.
Happy.
All righty, everybody. That was an amazing show. I hope you really enjoyed that show. And I want to let you know that you can get all of our replays at voicesofcourage.us. Please let your family and friends and everybody you know about this show. That's how we grow this show. And what else? I think that's a wrap. So until next time, continue to see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible.